Welcome to a Wholeness Podcast, a healthy home for hair professionals and our clients, where health and happiness is the top priority for those within the hair industry. Serving those who serve and giving the hair industry one great big hug. Hello, I'm your host, Fliss Downs, a barber, yogi, and meditation teacher. Come on in. Before I crack on with today's episode, if you haven't done so already, please hit the follow button on Spotify or on iTunes and leave me a star rating and review. By doing this, you will be helping me reach a wider audience and get the message out there sooner rather than later. I'd also like to mention that this podcast is proudly sponsored by Earth and Soul Pizza. If you are local to or travelling through Bairnsdale, use my promo code LOVEFLISS. That's LOVEFLISS. And get yourself a free large pizza when you buy one. With locally sourced produce and food exceptionally made by the team at Earth and Soul Pizza, be sure to get your wholesome, blissful pizza. I feel absolutely privileged to be bringing you this week's episode. Today, I bring you a conversation between myself and Dave Nelson. Dave is the founder of Flow State. He's the author to a book known as Living in Flow State, aligning the body, mind and spirit with the universal flow. I'm yet to read this book, but it's certainly on my wish list. I connected with Dave because I was interested in the practitioner course that him and his team provide for people who are already in the health and wellbeing industry. I also believe that this could be a course for people who wish to get into the health and fitness industry. Dave, if you are listening, please correct me on that one. I really wanted to get to know where Dave got his inspiration from and his drive to create such a thing like Flow State. I was also really curious to know how he curated such a business, starting off from being an online platform to now being in two states here in Australia. Recently, I had the opportunity to go check out the OG of Flow State. And I can tell you this now, I am sold, completely sold. After connecting with Dave, I knew I had to check out what this whole eight modality thing was all about in the space of an hour. Not only that hour in the studio, but also the sauna experience along with the cold plunge and the compression boots. Coming away from this conversation with Dave and also being in contact with him since, I've certainly learned a fair few things from him, and I'm so eager for you to listen to this episode, for you to get to know Dave's background, where he's come from, why he does what he does, and to gain inspiration from him to move in a direction that maybe you've not took before within your own fitness journey or even potentially your own business journey. So what are we waiting for? Let's get stuck into it. Thanks for jumping on a call with me. I really appreciate it, Dave.
Pleasure.
So the first thing I want to know is, when did you start your fitness journey? Where did it all begin?
Well, really, I was obsessed with sports from 7 years old. I was always in really good football programs, athletic programs. So I learned a lot off some really good teachers way back from 7, 8 years old. I did state athletics. And then after school, ended up doing personal training. And then over the whole lifetime, it's continually been an evolution of different aspects of fitness, body, mind, spirit. Yeah, so it's kind of been a long journey.
And in terms of Flow State, you are the founder of Flow State.
Yes. Yeah.
Have you got a business partner, or was it just purely yourself that started Flow State?
Yeah, it was just myself.
What inspired you to start Flow State?
Well, the funny story is, even though I'd been in fitness my whole life, as I just mentioned, I'd just gone 12 months of virtually no fitness. I was doing multiple businesses, way too many businesses. I was in hospitality, alcohol, a year of drinking, stress, flights, no exercise, and the diet followed. And then actually had to close the restaurants. And I sort of woke up out of nowhere, kind of life flashed before me. And I was 31, feeling about 61. I couldn't run 100 meters without thinking I'd done my knee. I couldn't sit on a surfboard because my hips had seized up, was so tight, glutes. And I was like, wow, that happened fast. I'm in trouble here. And I was like, well, I can't just do weights because that almost will make the problem worse. It's funny, I taught yoga when I was 21 without my certification, very poorly, but I had done it. So I knew I needed yoga. I knew I needed to do Pilates for my core, more advanced stuff. I knew I needed to do mobility. And then COVID hit. So that was a blessing because I was like, wow, I can't leave the house. I ended up studying yoga. I had to do it on Zoom. I did it on record, but had to submit recordings on Zoom, and I'd already done some breath work, did more breath work courses, mobility courses, and then just delved into a whole 6 months of study. And in that period, I realized, hey, if I can blend all these together, and I had the time, so I kind of got my workout down to 2 hours, and I do my breath work, my yoga, my animal flow, my weights, a bit of sprint work, Pilates to finish off. And then we'd finish with meditation. I was like, 2 hours is a bit long for me when I get a real job again. And it's probably too long for everyone, unless you're an elite athlete. So then we got it down to an hour. And then I'd healed my body. Not only had I healed my body in no time, I was moving far better than when I was doing athlete programs at 17, 18, 19. So I was like, wow, this is a good formula. And that was how it was born.
Wow, you've got it down to one now.
Yeah.
Power hour. And I love the concept because I think so many of us on this planet, we're working. Many people have children, so the attention goes to the children. It's like, where is the time in the day for us as an individual to do something for ourselves? So I know that there's eight components to the power hour. Can you just run us through what those eight components are?
So you warm up with the breath, fire the energy or the prana in the yoga world, fire that up through the body, regulate the nervous system, and just connect with the breath. Then we move into a yoga sequence, which is about 10 minutes and just designed to just warm up the body, stabilize joints, get that spinal fluid moving, the spine rolling, all the good stuff we do in yoga, a lot of single leg work to prep us for what's to come. Then you move into a hybrid of animal flow mobility. I call it movement prep because you're prepping the joints through the range of motion they're going to do with and without load. And then you go into the lifting phase where we do strength work, a little bit of sports conditioning, which then gets the heart rate up, and then finish with Pilates, sculpt, and then cool down with the meditation. So that's a full circle of the hour. It starts with the yin, goes to the yang, comes back to the yin, which is
I
how we
love
live.
it. And you started that off, if I'm correct, in Melbourne.
Yeah, I was locked down in Melbourne during COVID, and then we got let out for 2 weeks, and I knew we were going to go back down. So I escaped. I got the last flight out of Melbourne. I was traveling with my suitcase because I just knew it was going to lock down and lock down for another year. So I was very lucky, flew to Queensland, then opened a studio because Queensland virtually didn't have COVID in some aspect or in some respects. And then we did opened a couple more, and yeah, that was the journey.
And now you're in, am I right, LA or California?
Orange County, so like an hour out. Or I mean, it should only be an hour from LA, but it could be 3 hours if you pick the wrong time.
When did you fly over then? What took you there?
Yeah, so we opened a studio in West Hollywood. We ended up having to close that one down. Just economically, many things wrong with that project. But that kind of led me here, and yeah, still here. But I mean, I float around. I was floating back and forth. Bali, Melbourne, LA was I was doing that line of flight nonstop. And it's very hard to get from LA to Bali. So you had to go through Melbourne or Sydney quite often, which is home. So I would kind of go home to Melbourne for a few weeks, go to the studio there, float back to Bali. Yeah, so it's a good line of travel.
Wowza. So, I mean, in terms of flow state, you started it online because it was COVID. And then you've got a studio as well in Melbourne. You've got a studio in Queensland. Have you still got a studio in America, or is that just the one that closed
Not
down?
at the moment. We've got two more coming on this, well, hopefully the next month or so, but all in Australia at the moment. But yeah, we want to do some more stuff in America. We're also licensing the method to studios or gyms. So that's been a little evolution in the product. So someone doesn't have to go get a lease. And if they've already got the space, they're already a trading business, they can add a different concept into the model. Yeah.
What would you say the overall well-being benefits of doing the flow state power hour?
I think just the balance. I mean, if you, I always say, if I knew if I just lifted weights, I would be too sore, tight, and just move terribly, essentially. And I'd always be injured, always niggly, always inflamed. But also, if I just did yoga, and it depends which type of yoga, but most yoga you go to isn't going to offer the strength, the cardio that I'm after. Unless you're doing someone like Dylan Werner's, who's the anomaly. His is probably harder on both of them than most weight sessions. But as a general rule, I found yoga a little yin in essence. And working out way too yang. So you put them together, you leave feeling strong, you got your cardio in, but you don't feel tight and sore. If I go to the gym now, I walk out feeling like I got whiplash. So it feels awful to me. I couldn't do it. I would have to warm up with yoga, do yoga between sets. And if I still do go to the gym occasionally, like where we live has a nice gym. So I'll go do a weight and then I go do yoga for a set as my recovery. So people kind of watch, go, what's this weirdo doing?
It's one of them things, isn't it? I guess it's just the mindset of go to the gym. There's the weight area, there's the cardio area, and Bob's your uncle, Fanny's your aunt. That's what you do. It's either you choose cardio or you choose weights or you do a bit of both. So to incorporate your breath work, your yoga, your Pilates, your animal movements, all the functional stuff that actually loosen up our body but also help mobilize our body as well. I guess with flow state, that was your intention, was to create an environment where people could move freely and not be so limited to X, Y, or Z.
Correct. But the all-in-one workout essentially. Like I don't do anything else other than the activities. Like I box, I surf, I run. But my flow state for me is preparing me to do those. Like obviously you've got to do the sport as well. But for me, fitness should always be the means to an end. For me, just going to the gym, and I got to a point lifting at the gym. I'm like, wait a minute, guys, we've been training together for 8 years. We're all 30. We're all weaker than 5 years ago. We're all stiffer. We all can't do every second exercise because one of us has an injury. I'm like, this is not a good strategy. Why was no one questioning this madness? This is a terrible, terrible strategy. And most guys, I mean, I don't say anything because men are very stubborn and until they're in pain and they've slipped a disc, they don't want to know. But I just watch guys in the gym. They spend 10 hours a week there and they can't run, they can't jump, they can't bend down, they can't do anything. It's like, this does this for me, that's just not a great strategy.
No. And so from you going through that journey, I guess you're feeling younger in your body, you're not getting as many injuries or if any at all, less aches and pains, again, probably none at all.
Yeah,
And
literally.
there's this equipment that I use at the gym. Like, well, it's not necessarily equipment, it's a test thing. It's called Evolute. I think it's called Evolute. Have you heard of that at all?
No.
So it's where you stand on it with bare feet, you then hold these two things and you lift your arms out. It might be called something different that you're aware of, but you might know what I'm talking about. And it's a machine that kind of scans your whole body, right?
Yeah, body scan,
And
yeah.
yeah, and I've been on that 3 times now over the course of February, March, April, May, 4 months. And that's amazing to see all your different components of what your body's actually like in terms of your body fat, your muscle mass. And it also gave me my bio age.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh wow, it's saying that I'm 1 year younger than what my actual age is. So now I'm going on this mission to go, right, I want to get my bio age down. Like, I want to actually be younger than what I actually am. So do you feel by doing the 8 components of flow state and based on your own journey, and maybe you've gone on one of these machines as well to know your bio age versus your actual age, do you feel by doing that power hour and incorporate it into your life on a regular occasion can actually be of benefit to you to be able to reduce the bio age?
Yeah, well, I mean, the bio age is interesting because it's looking at like your mineral density and whatnot. So the diet is going to play a role in that. But yeah, I mean, it will training plyometrics and weights will help bone density and all those types of things. But as far as how I feel and how I move and the injury levels, I kind of have our marketing. I say turn back the clock 10 years and I put in brackets or more. And the reason I like that is because most people go, oh, 10 years, that's you're exaggerating. And so no, I'm not exaggerating. I'm under exaggerating. I'm 36 now. I would run circles around my 20-year-old self. I'm never, yeah. I mean, I thought I was fit at 20, and I mean, I was good at a few things, but I was always injured, always tight, always sore. Very limited range of exercises I could do. I could only do what I did in the gym, where Now I feel, although I'm not a great skier, athleticism-wise, I can ski, I can surf, I can jump, I box, I can wrestle, I can do anything because I train in all aspects. I train fast, slow, all planes of movement, high, low, longer duration, shorter duration, long rest, no rest. So yeah, I call it the all-round everyday athlete.
I like that. Have you trained any athletes at all in your time, in your career?
Yeah, plenty. Yeah, we've had a heap of different athletes from Aussie rules to boxers, surfers come in. So yeah, and all most athletes have an Achilles heel or two. So when you do the 8 rounds, they might be really good at 4 of them. And then they just absolutely like feel embarrassed in animal movement. Like some of the best athletes I've got, they do animal movement and they do worse than some of the soccer mums haven't trained for 5 years. They're so tough.
Yeah. Goodness me. And it's one of them things, even though we could still be moving, we could be moving in not the right amount of ways, which then still keeps us down the road of being stiff, not being flexible enough, not being mobile enough. And then as we get older, actually, there's a saying, you might have heard it actually, Dave, the older you get, the more you should move.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's so, so right. I've witnessed my grandparents get older and they retired, they started doing lovely things with their friends and things, but they actually just reduced their movement. And over a period of time, unfortunately, it turned out for them being cabbages, you know? And regardless of anyone's age, anyone's fitness level, they could start Flow State online, I'm aware of. You've got your online program. Do it in their own home as well. And that will help kickstart their journey. But for somebody that's, let's say, not moved for quite some time, somebody that doesn't actually know a lot about all of these 8 components, what would you say, or how could you guide somebody to find that motivation and find that willpower and the confidence to start something like this?
Yeah, it's a good question, because I mean, there's a good quote I heard that says, and I've heard it about running and I've heard it about plyometrics, and it says, we run to get fit, but you need to be fit to run. Because if you don't have the joint stabilization and mobility, you're going to get injured doing running or plyometrics. So yeah, that's why we did create a flow class, which kind of removes those more difficult exercises out of the program until you master the basics. And that's the biggest reason people do get injured, is they try and jump in the deep end. They're trying to build, you know, a house on a bed of sand, meaning their joints are like sand. There's no stability.
Yes.
So we need to take a step back. Before you go trying to run your first half marathon, let's fix your ankle. And yoga's great for that. I mean, yoga's my movement prep, because with the right exercise, especially if we do a lot of stuff on our tiptoes in yoga, so high lunge warrior on your tiptoes, do reps of that and holds. I'd be shocked if you have ankle or knee pain, because it's going to, if they're in the right spot. I mean, if you have no activation and you let that knee waddle everywhere, you'll have problems. But yeah, so yoga's fantastic. That's also great around the hips. A lot of like Warrior 3, half moons, starts to open up and contract and activate around that hip joint. And guess what? People get very sore during running. Ankles, knees, hips, lower back, because they've got no, I call them the shock absorbers. If you don't have stabilization around the ankles, knees and hips, guess where all that energy goes? Normally your lower back or the hip, or that gets caught at the knee. So I tell anyone that's running, I'm like, if you're running, you need to be doing yoga and Pilates, because Pilates is great for all those outer glutes, fire all that protection around the hip and takes and activate the core to take the load off the spine.
Absolutely.
So yeah, that's kind of a long answer to that question.
No, I love it. Thank you. Actually, I started my yoga journey when I started training for half a marathon back in 2015. And I was working in Melbourne, actually. So you would have been in Melbourne when I was here. Damn it, I didn't know you. But when I started running, my colleague was running marathons at this point. And he said, right, come on, we're getting you into half a marathon. I thought, I've never ran in my life. How on earth am I going to run half a marathon? And he set me off onto a 9-month program and we trained together. And he said, there's 2 things that you've got to do, though. You've got to get a roller. You need to roll out your muscles and your IT band. And you need to start doing something that's flexibility, that's mobility, like yoga. And although I practiced yoga a little bit in the past, I never dived into yoga as much. And so having that combination of my yoga, as well as going to the gym, as well as running, it just all complemented one another so, so well. And I ran my half a marathon and I was shocked that I did it.
Yeah, you did the groundwork. So yeah, it makes it a lot easier.
And throughout your fitness journey, in terms of loving sport and everything from the very beginning to then getting into your fitness and doing your certifications to then building a business online and in person, have you had an unexpected lesson along the way that you've learned from the fitness journey?
I've been in fitness and business a long time, so it's in multiple businesses. You learn the hard way, something every day. There's a million challenges in both. I can't think of one particularly, but there's just been every day you're like, we should have thought about that more. We should have done that if we only we knew this earlier. So, I mean, it's just a lot of things when you're new to an industry. It's funny because experience can kind of make you cynical or defensive and not take action. So there's an advantage to having what we call ignorance on fire. You don't see any of the problems and you're just like, I can do this. And that's great. And then sometimes people that have been in business too long, that's bad too, because you're too cynical. That don't work. Nothing works. I tried that. They tried that. So yeah, always trying to navigate the middle way, as we say in the Tao, and try and observe history lessons and then look at the new enthusiasm, what's possible, and try and find that middle ground. Because yeah, there's definitely been too many times where I think too much best case possible. And then sometimes you find yourself getting a bit cynical and we're complaining too much or falling into that trap and then manifesting more problems. So it's a fine line, man. You know, being positive is great, but sometimes being too positive has caused me immense pain, suffering financially, emotionally, all the above. So it's like, it's hard to find that middle ground.
I'm certainly not in the position like you are with business at all, but it seems to be that you definitely need a group of people around you, a good support network that are going to come on the journey with you. But yet, at the same time, I know from many other people that have businesses, they say it is such a lonely route. Do you feel that, or have you felt that throughout your journey at all?
Yeah, absolutely. And even if you've got people, it does help if you've got a good support network of friends or whatever in the same journey for sure. But still, sometimes they'll never know your scenario, your industry, your position. So everyone's an expert from afar too, like can go, oh, you should be doing that, you should be doing that, but you should have done this. But they weren't in your shoes. They don't see behind the hood. So yeah, I would say this definitely gets very, very lonely. No doubt about it. Yeah.
You started your social media page Flow State Official, which is ST8, in 2020. So that was, of course, when lockdown happened. What has your social media journey been like as a business trying to build an online presence? Were there any moments that you thought, right, this isn't working? I'm not getting enough followers. I'm not getting enough likes. There's not many people coming through the membership. Was there a pinnacle moment where all of a sudden your social media account flew up and it just boomed, and then you was overwhelmed by the amount of attention that you got? How was that journey for you?
I mean, what we do notice is obviously our master account, which is global, it doesn't get a lot of action and traction. One of the reasons because that is we have so many offerings. We've got courses, we've got online, we've got offline studio. So when you're trying to get everyone, you're kind of getting no one. But our studios, when they're local, go really, really well. And what I noticed through all the studios is when I would do a lot of talking on camera and just explaining, you'd get people come in and go, oh, I saw that one video where you said that, and I've had knee pain, and that's when I knew you knew what you're talking about, and that got me in here. So yeah, social media is amazing. It's much easier to build, in my opinion, when you're local or you've got a really specific niche. And I don't post a lot on my personal for the same reason. Before Flow State, I had other businesses, so my social media is kind of just dragged through all the different history of my last 10 years. And it's not, I don't sell anything specifically on my social. So my social is not a great example personally. I mean, we run ads a lot of our mother company, and that becomes more your website or your folio in a way where people can get to know a little bit more. So there's multiple ways you can use, and everyone's always like, oh, you need tons of traffic and engagement, interact and post 5 times a day. If you want to play devil's advocate on that, I'm like, yeah, that's one way of building it. But I know a guy that makes probably 4 million a year. Barely posts and just runs really good ads. You know what I'd
Wow.
rather? His plan.
Yes,
He doesn't have to
absolutely.
post every day.
Hook me up, Dave. Introduce me to
So there's, but also if you love what you're doing and it's engaging and you're sharing your mission, sharing content's awesome. It's awesome. Like there's it's a great vibe, but it does become a community, and that's great too. So it just depends what your goals are and what your strategy is, and as long as something's working, you're good. If
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
money, but yeah, we just to answer short, yeah, we just notice local stuff, and that's why when people do online as well, I say, hey, if you can do the odd in-person event too, like it just builds so much brand, it builds trust, it builds that authenticity connection. So even when people love to go all online, I mean, I do nudge people to do some stuff in person here and there too.
I'm going to Melbourne in a few weeks' time, and I will literally be like a 23-minute tram journey away from Flow State. So I'm definitely going to head in there. I'll be looking forward to telling you how I go. I'm guessing that I can just go in for one session, or do I have to sign up to a membership? How does that work?
Yes, you should do the single pass and do the whole workout, sauna, ice, compression. Our studio there's got the full service. So it's a very cool offering that you get to go do your breath, yoga, weights, everything, sauna, ice. That's what we call the retreat experience. Unless you've been on a retreat to Bali, you probably never have access to do all of that in one day, let alone in maybe 90 minutes.
Yeah, and you've gone through your journey, of course, having the fitness businesses, you've been teaching people fitness in person, online, but now you're also reaching out towards fitness practitioners and helping people within the fitness industry who are wanting to build their own business. How long have you been doing that, and what's that like for you? Because it's a different dynamic, isn't it? Rather than teaching somebody fitness, you're actually teaching somebody the business side. So, yeah, can you share a bit more about that?
Yeah, I mean, we do that predominantly all virtually all online now. So I like using WhatsApp. The reason I like using WhatsApp to coach is it feels more like a business partnership versus, you know, you're on a group call or you do a meeting once a month with your advisor or your consultant. When you're in a business partnership, and I've had lots of businesses where you've got a business partner, you guys just WhatsApp each other all day, every day. Hey, what do you think of this? Hey, what should we do here? Do you like look at that? Does this website look good? Is this picture good? Should I do that? There's a million things. So I wanted to bring that to the coaching program where you're almost acting as a advisor slash coach slash business partner and just someone you've got access to all the time. So that's been our latest offering and I enjoy it much more, to be honest. For my personality, I don't love scheduled meetings. I'd prefer to just be available. Works my life. So I just being on the beach and hey, someone messages with a question, I'll voice note them my answer. That's my style. Not everyone likes
Yeah.
the same. But yeah, that's how we've evolved. And when building a business, there is just 100 questions that you never think of. It'll be just, oh, which payment gateway do I use? Is this a good email mailing list session? Which is the cheapest one? All those things. If you just got someone to give you the answer, you can save yourself a couple of hours a day doing trial and error. You know, someone that's been through that and done it. So yeah, when I'm learning, I don't want to have to go onto YouTube and watch a 25-minute video and try and extract an answer. Just give me the goddamn answer. Answer my WhatsApp. So that's just how I like to learn is
Yeah.
that's kind of just naturally, organically rolled on to the same way.
That's like when I go to the food shop. If I don't know where something is, I'd much prefer to go to somebody that works there and go, I'm looking for this. Where do I need to go? Rather than walking the. And that's kind of what it's like, isn't it? It's you're trying to save yourself time. And there's so much information out there that it can be overwhelming, confusing. And like you say, you don't want to go onto YouTube and watch an entire video and try and scroll through and find your actual specific answer that you're looking for as such. This is where you and I connected, wasn't it? As I saw the program that you provide to people within the fitness industry, and I love what you've got. Can you just share with us if somebody was to, let's say, sign up to the course that enables them to go through the program that you've got, just run us through what that looks like and what do they gain at the end?
Yeah, so we blended together everything. So you get access to all our certifications and course to be a trainer or what we call a holistic flow practitioner. We give you the business course. So there is some business training as well. And we do the one-on-one WhatsApp coaching. So it's all encompassing. A lot of people will do a yoga course and they'll spend 5, 10, 3 grand, whatever it's worth. But they haven't learned the business, and you can have the best skills in the world. But sadly, the way the modern world operates and is, you need to know how to market and sell and run processes. Otherwise, you're not going to get to share what you're good at. I wish business didn't exist and you could just be a master at your craft and nothing else. And you could argue that if you're truly good enough, you get not just word of mouth, but the world's so competitive. Your people are getting thousands of marketing messages a day. So you have to learn to stand out and connect and go through a process. That's how it comes together. But also, if you're just a business coach and someone's just a yogi or just a PT and they don't have any real specialty, the market's competitive. You can fall into the trap of being a me too. And yeah, it's tough. It's like you're just selling a plain bread roll, and there's a lot of bread rolls with ham and cheese or whatever. So not that you can't be good just as a standard personal trainer, or you can be a great yogi, but you do need to stand out and master something, in my opinion. It definitely makes it easier. So yeah, that's how that kind of evolved as well.
You must have had business coaching yourself as well. Have you got one specific coach that really did help traject your journey into business? Or did you have multiple business coaches and fitness coaches? Is there anybody that really stood out for you along your journey?
Really, I mean, I had business partners that I learned a lot from. I worked in other people's companies I learned a lot from. I did pay for certain courses and study, and I'm always doing that. And then there's a lot of people I haven't paid for that I've learned a lot. I've read their book, or I've listened to their podcast, or it's just other people in the that I admire or like what they do and resonate with, and I'll just go watch and dissect stuff they do. A blend of all the above.
Yeah. And are there any unconventional practices or mythologies that you incorporated into your eight components and your business that are not really widely recognized in the well-being industry?
I think our concept as a whole is being mixed modality hadn't really been done too much before. So you've got to re-educate. We call that a bit of a blue ocean product, where there's everyone else is in the red ocean. But the problem with the blue ocean is you've got to explain it. Why is this better? What are the results? Which can be an advantage too, because it's new, it's exciting, people double look, what's this? So I mean, that in itself is a little revolutionary. And then you've got to, if you really get into the nitty-gritty of marketing, yeah, then you go, oh, but if we're going too broad, are we capturing no one? You know, the reason CrossFit does so well is there's diehard cult-like CrossFitters or yogis or Pilates instructors. So now you go broad, you do risk capturing no one. You're not being precise. So there's a lot of learnings in new concepts which have different challenges that other people don't have. If you go launch a Pilates studio next door, everyone knows what you do. And you'll naturally go, oh, I want to do Pilates, I want to try it. When you've got mixed modality training, no one knows what it is. They've got to go, oh, is that for me? What is it? How does it work? Am I fit enough, or am I too fit? Is it too easy? All these questions come up. When you come up with a concept, you don't necessarily think about. But yeah, you face new challenges that, if especially when you've got a new or innovative idea, it does require a whole new strategy compared to Dave's Pilates next door.
Yeah, because you incorporate so much, do you feel at the beginning that people were, let's say, apprehensive because there was so much to it?
No, I think women really got it, because a lot of women who were already doing Pilates, yoga, introduced to weights. So I feel like there was a lot of this makes sense. It was more getting the guys to try it, and they're so stuck in thinking, oh, I need to be jacked, I need to lift in the gym. You know, well, I lifted in the gym for 7 years and competed on stage. I've done magazine covers. I was in way better shape doing flow, lifting half of a quarter of the weight that I was. So unfortunately, yeah, that's one of the challenges with getting into the male market. And then males just wait till that back's broken before they change their strategy. I swear. So we get no males under 30, none, because they're all still at the gym destroying their bodies. We get them all at 30 when they're coming in hobbling, their back's done, they're burnt out. So it's quite funny. We get 19-year-old girls straight, this makes sense. I love this. I do all this anyway. But we don't get any men till 30. So I always joke, it's always a common thing. Men mature a little bit slower than women. I'm like, finally realize it's true.
That's really fascinating, and it's fascinating as well because that was your journey. You said that you got to your 30, was you 30 or 32,
31,
something
yeah.
like that, and that's when you then realized, oh God, my body's not working like it once did. And so for you to now actually see that as a mirror reflection into your audience, that's a really fascinating thing.
Yeah, you don't want to fight it too. So now we just target, man, over 30. I'm not in the
Yeah.
game of trying to convince testosterone-fueled, ego-driven males at 22. Because so, I just know what I was like. I was like, I don't need mobility. I just want to be jacked. And you think everyone cares about you being jacked. And when you're 31, you realize no one does. And
No, I know. It's so crazy how we have this perception about what other people think of us. And in fact, people just don't give two shits, basically, do they? They couldn't care less whether you're jacked or not. You know, we're all sort of
if you
in
are
our
jacked,
own
they'll
lane.
probably, and even if you are jacked, they'll probably just criticize you. Oh, he's got no life. He just eats sausages and broccoli all day or whatever.
Oh, dear me. You mentioned when I asked you about your coaching side of things and you being led and mentored. You mentioned about reading books. So here's a quick fire question for you. What book has had the most profound impact on your approach to health and well-being?
That's a good question. Health and well-being specifically. I'm trying to think of the name. I do remember I was in the back of a garage sale and I got a book. It was by Dr. Colgan, who's a very well-known doctor in the US in the 70s. And it was something like Holistic Nutrition for Athletes. And it was talking about how athletes all go about it wrong, eating back in the day of like artificial processed pastas and stuff the night before and all the myths of fitness, and really just spoke about how going holistically has kind of what we're talking about with your bio age. And you've got to think about your inflammation levels, your cells, your antioxidants, all these other things. So that was a big ch change in my journey because I was doing bodybuilding then and I was on a cover of the magazine, but I had boils all over me. I was so unhealthy. Like I didn't sleep. I was grumpy. I was angry. Horrible way to live. And then I remember reading that book and I was like, wow, we can do this smarter and feel good and nourish the body, the soul, the spirit. And then that kind of took me on that holistic journey. And then that changed the directory for me. And then I got into more holistic books and I've done everything. I went vegan, I've gone fruitarian, I've done meat only. I've kind of tried everything I found out about. From a holistic point of view, like what is Chinese medicine? What's there? What's Ayurvedic? So I kind of went down that route as well because of that book. But it's a very old book. I remember I got it in the back of a garage sale. It was looking like it'd been half eaten by the dog. It's probably, it might be on Kindle or something somewhere online, but yeah, that was the book.
Isn't it amazing? It just that little moment of you being in that situation of you finding this book then sort of steered you into another direction. Little did you know the direction that that would take you in, going, oh, what's all of this about, you know?
Yeah, I think it can just be that butterfly effect that sends you down a whole different path.
Absolutely. You've probably heard of Timothy Ferris's book, The 4-Hour Body. I'm not even an eighth away through it yet because it is such a thick book. There's so much to it. And even just reading that, I find that so fascinating. And I'm yet to get through the whole book and obviously try things out myself. But for him to say, yeah, you just need to work out 4 hours a month and then you've got the nutritional side. Like I said, I've still got loads more to read, so I don't really know the full amount of it. Have you read that? And if you have, or know a bit about that, obviously you're talking more about working out or creating all doing all these modalities and these eight components in a space of your power hour. Would you say to do that every day, 4 times a week? Like in regards to what he's saying, the 4 hours per month versus what you do, where's your thoughts on that?
It really depends on your age. I mean, if you really truly measure progressive overload, which is probably going to be the best test of where your body's at. So, as a general rule, and you'll learn this yourself, but for me, it's 2 a week, two, maybe three. When I go to 3 power hours a week, I'm a bit sore the next week and I kind of plateau. My nervous system's not firing like it was if I did 1 a week. 1 a week for me is a little bit light. I like to do two. But if I was 21, I could probably do four and still progressive overload and get stronger. So really, if you want to figure out what your training's right, one of my mentors, Paul Check, says, if you're coming into the gym and not hitting within 1% of your personal best, like negative 1% or better, an improvement, you don't belong in the gym, you belong in the yin. Meaning go back and sleep, recover, stretch, roll, get a massage. And that's how a lot of Olympic athletes will measure their body as well. But to give you an example of that, if you're consistently not getting stronger, you're overtraining. Either that or your diet is just horrific and you're not eating enough protein or you're getting your calories off McDonald's. Who knows? So yeah, that's the best way to test for yourself is actually see where there's progressive overload. And when you hit a point of plateau, you're probably slightly overdoing it. Now, obviously, as we age eventually at 40, we're not going to be able to keep progressive overloading. So then we need to train even less and just try and keep maintenance. But yeah, people age a lot slower than that. People think, oh, my prime's like 25. You know, the strongest bodybuilders in the world are often in their 40s. You know, like Djokovic is probably just over his peak athleticism, but he's 39. I don't think he's past his peak because he's 39. It's because he's had 19 years of high impact on the body. So if he had been very low impact and not played 5 hour matches his whole career, maybe his peak would be 39. Same with LeBron,
Yes.
all these athletes. We are a little bit quicker in our mid-20s. That seems to be a bit of a scientific fact, but there's multiple measures of your fitness as well.
Yeah, I got into such a mode of going, I must go to the gym 5 times a week, Monday to Friday. And when I was training for my half marathon back in 2015, 2016, I was pretty much working out every single day. Back then, I was 26, 27, I'm now 35. And I go, oh my God, I feel like my body's getting older and the aesthetic side of my body doesn't look the way that it did back then. But thinking about going to the gym, I can get to the gym sometimes and be on the rower. And I really like that the point that you said about the 1%. Is I can get to the gym sometimes and I'm on the rower and I compare myself every day. I look at strokes per minute and how far I can go in the first 5 minutes of my rowing session. And some days I'm like, oh my God, this is really taxing on my body right now. And I'm not beating myself from the day before. And then I can take a few days off and I go back in. I'm like, oh wow, I managed to get my strokes per minute down, but I've increased my meters within 5 minutes by 30 meters. And it just goes to show rest state that we need that to recover. But I also think sometimes our mentality goes to lose weight, to get muscle, get stronger. We've got to go every single day. And that's probably the worst we can do for our body.
Yeah. Well, often we're addicted to the feeling and we feel so good mentally because of it. So that creates the addiction. So I always just say, still go to the gym 7 days if you like. But look at an elite marathon runner. They will run every day, but 3 of those days will be at like quarter pace. So you can still train every day, but one of your days is going to be very light, very yin based, not a lot of load on the joints or the muscle or the nervous system. A lot of people, we need to feed that addiction because we feel so good because of it. Without it, we can feel a bit of a lull, which I feel
Yes.
that. If I haven't worked out for 2 days, I am one of the most on edge, agitated people you'll ever meet. I'm hard work. As soon as I work out, I'm friendly again. Ah, I'm back, you know. So I get it more than anyone,
Yeah.
but it's that balance, the balancing act. I'm a Libra too, so it's the equilibrium.
Yeah, absolutely. So before we round things up, is there anything that you want to share or any insights or advice you'd give somebody that's wanting to maybe change the way they work out and change the way that they're living their life in terms of going to the gym?
Yeah. My first one that's easy to understand is I always talk about yin and yang balance. So understand that balance. And I always say to people, let's estimate what your current workout is. So if you're doing HIIT classes 5 days a week and you stretch for 14 seconds before them with a quad stretch, you do 100% yang.
Yes.
Although I don't think someone at my age, male, should be doing Tai Chi 5 days a week. But if someone's doing Tai Chi 5 days a week, you are doing 100% yin. Probably not great for total masculinity, fitness, and functionality. So if we can get to that, find a ratio. Now we're aware. Awareness is the first key of, oh, wow, I'm 100% yang or 95% yang. And then I say, and my next question for people is, like, if you continue that plan for the next 5 years, how do you think your body's going to feel and what's going to happen? And normally the answer is, I'll be ratchet. So they normally can answer it themselves. So that's my first step. And then I start to say, well, how are you measuring fitness? And most guys that are stuck in gym world is, oh, how big my chest is or my arms or how much my max bench is. And I probe, I'm like, oh, I always give people shit with thought-provoking questions. I'm like, oh, you're really working on your heavy squat, huh? I'm like, that's pretty functional, isn't it? They're like, yeah, real functional. I go, really? I go, it's a two-legged exercise, right? I go, when's the last time you've moved with 2 legs? You don't, you move with one. So it's not that functional, number one. I go, when's the last time in your life, this thing you're training for, you're spending your whole life for, when's the last time someone's got really something really heavy and you said, hey, let's chuck it on the back of my shoulders. I'm going to squat down to the ground and try and lift it up. Never. So I always just got to poke the bear a little bit and kind of try and highlight the just some of the silly things we do. It's kind of like comedy. Comedy kind of highlights the dumb things we do and don't question. So that's what I started to think about. And then I go, so we're a single-legged animal, so should we maybe do more single-leg movements for our legs? Great. And then if they've got back pain, I'm like, okay, which joints do you think take the most load when you're running? Yeah, ankles and back, hips. And I go, okay, how much ankle, knee, and hip work do you do? None. Why not? So I kind of ask rhetorical, kind of dumb but funny questions, and then get people thinking, right, okay, let's think about it. Let's stabilize the joints. Because that's the most important thing. If I give one any advice to injury-proof the body, and my mentor says this, Paul Check, he said, out of 35 years of training the best athletes on the planet, he goes, I've never seen a single non-impact injury that is not linked to an unstable joint. And I have seen this time and time again with myself. If your joints are strong, so ankle, knee, hip, deep core, shoulders, and maybe even wrists, if you want to add that, you get them strong. Even if you're tight and not that flexible, you're probably not getting injured. You'll just move terribly. You're probably not actually going to get injured. So that's kind of the journey I invite people to go on. Think about yin, yang. What is actually functional? What are we actually training for other than a strength test, which no one's going to use? What do we actually use? Mobility, if we want to play with the kids on the floor. What do we need? Mobility. We need our hips below the knees, or you're going to be, I'm a knee, I'm a back. So, and then, and if you want to run, well, guess what? Does bent your max bench and squats really help your running? No. Do you want to go play tennis regularly, but you always hurt your back? Well, what are we going to do? Some lateral movement, work on single leg, get the joints mobile, get our timing better, body-mind connection. And yeah, so try and get people to think more functionally, and not just functionally is a bit of a buzzword, but actually, what do you want to be able to do in life? And is your plan helping, or is it making it worse? Because often people want to move really well, but all they do is heavy deads and squats. If I do heavy deads and squats, I will get worse at every single thing I do overnight. My surfing will be stiff and tight. My boxing will be terrible. My running will be sore. So that's why I don't do much of those movements. So.
You've actually, just as you've been sharing that with me, you've actually sort of, I'm going to use the word triggered. I'm not like traumatized by the trigger, but it's triggering my thought process actually around the way that I've worked out, the way that I've trained, and even just looking at my last few gym sessions, going, oh my goodness, I'm actually really not incorporating all of these things, what you teach and what flow state creates for people. And so now I'm going, God, maybe I do need to get into something more like this. And it's questioning the way that I do things. And it probably questions other people as well with how they do things. And when you're questioned about what you do, that creates uncomfortableness, it creates dis-ease. But it's just that little seed that you can plant into somebody to make them just go, oh yeah, actually, I'm not moving my body in all these variations. No wonder I'm stiff. No wonder I'm getting injury after injury. So thank you for sharing all that, because it's even just highlighted to myself and me going, oh yeah, I've got stuck back into, oh, I'm going to step back into the weight room. And I'm going, I don't need to get into the weight room. I actually recorded a video of myself squatting the other day, and now I'm going, what the fuck
Well, I say that, I mean, there's still nothing wrong with doing a two-legged squat. You can get stronger legs, great. But I always just go question. I love it when people say, "Oh, yeah, you have to do this, or that's going to get you stronger." I go, "Really? Who said? Who? I want names. Give me a name." They say, "Who's they? I want to see a name." I'll leave you a funny story. I'll probably say it wrong, but it's very symbolic of this. I'll probably get this wrong, but it's like it's Christmas Day, and the wife's making a ham, and she cuts off both the ends of the ham and puts it in the oven. And he goes, "Why'd you cut off the ends of the ham?" She goes, "Oh, it just makes it taste better. Everyone knows that." He goes, "Who's everyone? I don't know that. Who? I want names." She goes, "Oh, my mum does it." So he calls up the mum and goes, "Hey, why do you cut the ends off the ham before putting it in the oven? You're wasting all this ham." She goes, "Oh, it just makes it taste better, get better flavor." He's like, "That doesn't sound right. Who told you this?" "My mum. Let's get grandma on the phone." So he goes, "Grandma, why on earth are you cutting the ends off the ham before you chuck them in the oven?" She goes, "Oh, we just used to have really small ovens, so we had to cut them off to make it fit."
Oh, Dave, I love that. That's a great story. It just goes to prove, though, it does, doesn't it? It really does. Oh, dear me. And just to round things up, I've seen that you, in 2020, you brought out a book called Living in Flow State. Is that still on Amazon? Is it still available to people or not?
It's funny you found that. I mean, I wrote that when I just started my journey. So it's for me now, it's very school grade level compared to what I know now. But people still somehow find it. And I get the odd thank you message about how people enjoy it. So it may be sometimes things when they're at that base level of basics are good. So yeah, that is actually still on Amazon. I will redo a book at some point.
I was just going to ask that. Yeah, I was just going to say, is there any chance of a new book coming out soon? Because I know some people will keep the same book, but they're just update it as time goes on. So I guess it'd be a case of you going, do I actually keep that book as it is? Because that was sort of like the beginning of my journey. Or is it going to be, I'm going to create a new book? So I'm going to look forward to seeing and hearing whenever you bring out your next book. So keep me posted on that one, won't you?
For sure.
Thanks, Dave, so much. I really loved our conversation today. You've thrown so much knowledge my way, and thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it, Dave.
Pleasure. Great to chat.
I don't know about you, but I came away from listening to that episode just smiling and feeling really inspired by Dave's journey for the fitness side, for the business side. I feel Dave just gave us so many amazing little insights and made it sound so simple, although it's not necessarily always that simple when it comes to our health and fitness journey, and especially when it comes to business as well, being an entrepreneur. I really loved how Dave was honest about being entrepreneurial can be lonely. And this is an area that I'm personally in right now. And I have been for quite some time. It's just I've never actually necessarily, I'd say I've never believed that I am an entrepreneur. And I was saying to a friend the other day about how I'm like a wannabe entrepreneur. But the truth is, or what my friend shone the light on was, Fliss, you already are an entrepreneur. Just you've not monetized it how you want to yet. So after speaking to Dave, as well as checking out Flow State in Melbourne, it's got me thinking even more about my own personal health and well-being journey, but also what more can I learn to really solidify the direction that I want to go in within the health and well-being industry. If you are interested in becoming a practitioner through Flow State, then please do reach out to myself or Dave, and when you do, just mention to us that you've listened to this episode. Next week, I'm joined by Dr. Danos, who is one of the UK's leading gender affirmation surgeons, specialising in top surgery for trans men. If you've listened to episode 39 of AWP, you would have heard from Kerry Blue. Dr. Danos was Kerry's surgeon back in April for their own top surgery. It's been an absolute delight to be involved with part of Kerry's journey through that process. And now I feel really honoured to be having Kerry's surgeon here on a Wholeness podcast. So keep your eyes peeled and your ears open.
As always, stay tuned and stay real. Join me every Wednesday for a Wholeness podcast. I'll catch you real soon. Peace, love, and light.